Good morning. It's good to see you all. Welcome. And welcome if you're joining us online. As I was coming here, I noticed the mist. And it made me think that's kind of how sometimes we see God. We're sort of looking mistily, and when it's misty, we tend to worry about what's near to us, what's important to us. And today, the message that Mark's bringing us is one where we say, hang on, let's look at God. Let's look at what he's done. So that's my prayer for us, that we'll be able to look at God and get a good grip on what he's done for us. So I have one announcement, and that's that we're starting the new year with prayer. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We're in the Sunday school at 7:30. And we have the privilege of joining together as a group of God's children to talk to our Father. And John Hitch is going to be leading us in that. So it would be really good if we could be there together as a church family to pray. But now we're going to sing. So when the music starts, do stand if you're able. And we sing as of our privilege of Jesus's of worshipping Jesus for his love to us. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
So we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. And what we have here is a poem written by David, a man who had known death threats, living as a refugee, being hunted, family problems. And he will turn our eyes as he turns his eyes to the God who's helped him. So, let's read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty one who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, we're going to look forward to Mark speaking to us from that psalm later. But before that, we're going to sing. And after that, we've got the children's talk. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Here is Love Vast as the Ocean.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good. Ooh, plenty of space today then. Yeah? Have you had a good Christmas? Yeah? Good. Well, today Mark is going to be preaching on things to remember. Things to remember. So I thought in our children's talk we'd have a quick look at the word remember, or what remember is about. Now, what did you get for Christmas, Harvey? Only 2-3 days away? You've forgotten already? No? What did you... Oh, there's so many things. You got a poster. Excellent. What did you get? No? What did you get, Molly? You got new shoes. I got a new jumper. I got a new jumper. And new trousers. And a new shirt. I'm doing well. What did you get for Christmas? A Polaroid camera, excellent. That would be good at making memories, wasn't it? Every time you take a picture, you create a memory. You can remember. Brilliant. So, next question then. So you remember what you had for Christmas. Who gave you your poster? A friend, yeah? A friend. Where did your shoes come from? Your mum and dad. And did you remember to do something when you were given them? What did you do? Say thank you. Brilliant. Yeah, so it's remembering. Do you know, sometimes remembering takes a bit of effort. And we set up times of the year to remember certain things. Now, I've got three different times of the year, and I want you to see if you know what they're about. Okay? So what are these? What are these about? What times of year are these? Go on, Al. You want to read them all? Oh, go on then. Easter, Christmas, and your birthdays. Brilliant. Do you know when your birthdays are? Can you remember when your birthday is? Yeah, if you can remember when your birthday is, don't forget that one, do you? No, very good. And we remember Christmas, and we remember Easter. Now, there is a verse in the Bible, especially for young people, about remembering. And the adults I know are going to know exactly where I'm going to go. Does anyone want to read that verse out? Go on, Harvey, nice and loud. Remember your Creator while you are young. Excellent. So, if we go back to this previous slide, okay, so Elle very, very accurately said that we remember Christmas, Easter, and birthdays. So, what is it specifically about these three things that we remember? These times of the year, what is it specifically that we remember? At Christmas, what do you remember? That's an easy one, isn't it?
When you celebrate God's love.
We celebrate God's love. We celebrate Jesus come to live on this earth, don't we? We like the presents. We like everything else. But that's the time that we remember specifically about Jesus coming to live on this earth. Easter. What do you remember at Easter? Is it all about Easter eggs and bunnies and little chicks? No? What's Easter about then? Jesus rising from the dead. He died, didn't he? And he rose from the dead. So, you know, the world goes round about us and we have lots of Easter eggs and lots of things. But actually what we remember at Easter is about Jesus rising from the dead because he died. And then the third one. What are we going to say about birthdays? What are we going to say about birthdays? Can we remember God in our birthdays? Yeah, we can't we? And as you get older, what you pray to God about your birthday will change. It will change. But you can thank God for every year. As your number goes up, as you get older, thank God that he's given you another year. So we can get caught up in celebrations, can't we? We can get caught up in lots of things going on. But actually, we need to remember why we are celebrating those things. So remembering actually can be hard sometimes because you have to put some effort into it. We have to put some effort into remembering. Thank you very much.
Our Heavenly Father, we
We thank you. Lord, you have said you shall remember all the way the Lord your God has led you. And Lord, we want to thank you and indeed bless you. Bless the Lord, my soul, for all his benefits towards you. And Lord, we do that today. Lord, we thank you for the way you have led us through 2024. And Lord, there is so much to give you thanks for. Lord, we take so much for granted, and we don't want to do that. Lord, we have so many physical blessings. We have food and comfort and houses, and Lord, we have education, and Lord, we have friends and family. But Lord, much more than all these things, we thank you that we have the gospel. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, those of us who believe in you. And we want to thank you for all those wonderful, wonderful gifts that you have given us through this year. Lord, there are too many to mention. Lord, sadly, we don't remember all your gifts, but we do want to thank you for those we do remember. And Lord, we're very conscious that we have made very poor returns for all your goodness to us. Lord, we're sad when we think of those things that we have done which we ought not to have done. Those things that we haven't done that we should have. And Lord, we thank you that we can thank you for the coming of your Son into this world, so that we could know that forgiveness which he alone can give. And Lord God, we pray that we might always have a spirit of thankfulness in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you as a church, Lord, for all your goodness to us. We thank you for our Pastor John and all his ministry over this year. We thank you for him and Mark and all the hours they spend in seeking to interpret your word for us. We thank you for their prayers, for their constant care. And Lord, you know what burdens they bear. You know alone how much they wrestle in prayer for us. And Lord, we pray that you will answer those prayers. Lord, we thank you for many prayers that you have answered. But Lord, there are many that are still waiting to be fulfilled. And we pray that this year, this next year, 2025, we may see many more answers to prayer. Lord, we pray as a church, Lord, that we might, whatever state we're in, Lord, whether we're like the church at Ephesus who had left their first love, we pray, Lord, that you'll reignite love for you in our hearts, love that will so overflow that we might not be able to suppress the joy that we have, and that might find its expression in telling others. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll loosen our tongues so that we might being able to proclaim your truth and the wonder of your forgiveness. And Lord, we know that there are many others in the world who have known a very different year. We think of many in Nigeria and many Muslim lands and North Korea, and Lord, many, many places across the world where they are suffering for your name's sake. And Lord, we just lift them up before you now. And Lord, we read of another church that you spoke of, and that you did remember their works, and you did remember their poverty, although, as you said, they were rich. Lord, we know that you told them that Satan would cast many of them into prison,
Oh, what an awesome message that must have been for them to receive. And yet, Lord, you were with them there. And we pray that those suffering brothers and sisters of ours in these various lands might know your presence while they're in prison. We pray for those families who are bereft of mothers and fathers and young ones who are suffering for your name's sake. But Lord, we thank you that there was a time limit. It was for 10 days, a limited period. And we pray, Lord, that those who we regard as poor in this life's things might know the great riches of your love. Lord, reach out to them at this time, we pray, and help us to be practical in our love for them, not just in prayers, but in giving and in just seeking to do whatever we can to relieve their needs. Lord, we do ask for your help in every aspect of our church's life. Lord, we thank you for all the different ministries. And we thank you, Lord, that through those ministries, many have come into this church. We thank you for our dear friends from First Tuesday who've come along. We pray that you'll bless them as they join with us in worship. We pray that you'll reveal yourself to them. And, Lord, that we might all have that great joy of seeing others come to bow their knees to you. So, Lord, do, we pray, help us to bless your name. May we have that right spirit of praise. And as we worship you this morning, lift our hearts up beyond all earthly distractions and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be with John, Lord, as he seeks to expound your word to us. May he know your presence as he speaks of you. And may we know your presence as we listen, not just with our ears, but take it into our hearts. And we pray that we might express it in obedience and love and service to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as Paul was praying, it reminded me of how often when we look at the world, we say it's really messed up. You've got bad things happening to good people, but it's not making sense. Well, this evening, John's going to be reminding us of the end of the story, when Jesus comes back and sorts everything out. So it'll be well worth being here to hear that, as it makes sense of everything. Well, we're going to sing again before Mark speaks to us. And it's a modern song, and it's great words. And the line that I love is, "When I gaze upon his beauty, when I see him as I should." That helps me make sense of everything in this world. When I see my God as he is. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Thank you.
good morning. On Tuesday night, we get to the end of another year. 2024 will be consigned to the history books, just like the many, many years before it. And I don't know how you feel as you look back on 2024. What were some of the struggles that you've been through? What were some of the highlights that you enjoyed that you look back fondly on? And as you think ahead to 2025, what is it you're excited about? And what is it you've got concerns about? What is it that you're anxious about? Well, this week I've been mulling over, what is it that I can share from God's word that will most help us as we reflect back on 2024 and all that entailed? And as we look forward to a new year, what is it that's going to most help us as we do that? And I think the thing that will most help us is to spend some time this morning thinking about God himself and thinking about what he has done and does for us. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time in Psalm 103. It's a psalm that we had read. It's a psalm by David, as Tony said. You know, in Psalm 103, we get some of the richest and most powerful descriptions of God that we get anywhere in the Bible. It's many people's favourite psalm, or one of them. It's a beautiful, uplifting psalm, and it's packed with reasons to praise God. And it should humble us, and it should boost us, and it should encourage us, and it should strengthen us, and it should bring us to our knees in thankfulness to God. But I wonder how you feel about God this morning. Are you feeling much as you're sitting there? Maybe you know that God is worth praising. You know he's worth praising, but you're not really feeling it this morning. Well, maybe if that's you, maybe we need to do what David does at the start of this psalm. Look at what he says right at the beginning. So this is verse 1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." He's effectively telling his soul and everything in him to praise God. It's as if he's speaking to himself. He knows that God is worthy. He knows that God is worthy of praise from everything that he has. And so, as John Stott puts it, he exhorts his own sluggish soul to worship. He exhorts his own sluggish soul to worship. It's as if he's speaking to himself and he says, "Come on, all of me, praise God. He's worthy. Come on." And maybe we need to do the same this morning. It's all too easy, isn't it, to just sort of rock up at church and just sort of wait to be impacted by what's going on. But it's so different when we speak to ourselves. When we sort of instruct ourselves almost, in our soul and our inner being, to come with a sense of worship. It's so different when we come into church with the attitude of, "I am going to worship God today." So just very briefly, let's just pray quickly, very briefly, that God will help us to have that attitude. Lord God, you deserve every bit of praise that we can give from every fibre of our being. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have that attitude of praise to you this morning from the very depths of our hearts. Amen. Well, what does David do as he's sort of trying to encourage himself to worship God? What does he do? Well, he writes the rest of Psalm 103. So let's look at Psalm 103, because this will help us to worship God this morning. And we're going to look at three things from this psalm, three things that I think will really help us to remember as we finish 2024 and as we head into 2025. So firstly, remember all his benefits. Remember all his benefits. This could be a good number of headings, to be honest. But remember all his benefits, verses 2 to 5. Well, last week I became the proud new owner of a Morrison's More card, and I've only had one opportunity to use it so far, and I forgot, which was a bit of a shame. But they promise loads of benefits, don't they? And I've got a Tesco Club card as well, and you can use the points that you get with that to get vouchers, and you can get some quite nice benefits from that. And it sort of seems like nearly every shop you go into now offers you some sort of loyalty card where you can get extra benefits. And or maybe you've had a job, and as part of the job, you get extra benefits. They say, well, as you're now part of our business, you get this and you get that. Well, here, David tells himself not to forget the benefits that God gives him, verse 2. So it says to not forget, or we might obviously say remember. And however exciting that the benefits that you might get with a Morrison's More card might be, the benefits that God gives and offers are infinitely better, and they don't require us to earn them. We don't have to work for them. We don't have to earn them. God's benefits that he gives are free, freely given to us out of love. God gives us so many good things. And why is it that David tells himself to remember them, to not forget them? Is it because he's worried about sort of forgetting what they are? Well, no. It's because he knows that he'll forget to think about them. He's good at forgetting to think about these things. And maybe we're the same. We can find it very easy, can't we, to sort of focus on the struggles and the hardship and the anxiety and the discouragements in life. And often these can be very real. But sometimes they can weigh us down more than they should. And sometimes that's because what we're doing is we're forgetting all the blessings that God gives us. All the good things he gives us. The many things that he's done for us. I suspect many of you have been playing games this week. One of the games we played was a game called Listography. And basically in one of the rounds you have to write down 10 things to do with a certain category. And the basic aim of that particular round was that you had to write down things that as many other people wrote down. So you were looking for the most popular answers, essentially, is what you were doing. Well, I wonder, let's imagine we played that game this morning. Imagine I handed out bits of paper to you and I said, the category that I want you to write 10 things down about is the best things that God does for us. What are the top 10 best things that God does for us? I wonder what you'd write down on your list if you were trying to think, well, what would most other people put? Well, David has a bit of a list in verses 2 to 5. And the top of the list for him is forgiveness. This is what it says in verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity. We don't tend to use iniquity much nowadays. It's another word for sin, or essentially the breaking of God's law is what it is. So he forgives us for when we break God's law. This is the most important thing for David. This is top of the pile in terms of the blessings, the good things that God does for us. He forgives us when we break God's law. God is a God who loves to forgive. And I just want to ask you a question this morning. And that is, have you been forgiven by God? Have you been forgiven by God? You know, this is one of the things that God loves to do, is he loves to forgive. And why is it so important for you? Why should you care about this? Well, look at what he says in verse 1, how he describes God. He describes him as holy. In other words, God is perfect. And we are not. The Bible describes us as being full of sin. And the reality is we cannot come into God's presence because he is perfect. He is holy and we are not. And more than that, the Bible has strong warnings that because of this, the Bible says we are facing God's judgment. We are condemned people. And as Hebrews says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet this same God is the God that freely offers forgiveness. freely offers us a way out of that condemnation. And I want to plead with you this morning to accept it if you haven't already. Accept his forgiveness. And if you're not sure whether it's worth following God, then I encourage you to keep listening to all the other good things that God gives and God does for us. Well, if you have been forgiven, is it something that you find joy in this morning? Or is it something that you kind of find that you've kind of got a bit used to? You don't quite feel it as much. Well, David brings it to mind because he wants to remember it as the biggest blessing from God. And in verses 8 to 12, he sort of expands this theme of forgiveness, particularly. This is what he says in verse 8. I'll read it slowly. I love this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Some of you will recognise this. This is a quote, actually, from God himself speaking back in Exodus 34. And what's interesting about this is that this is soon after the golden calf incident. Some of you will know about that, where the people of God, instead of worshipping God, they made this golden calf and they worshipped that instead. How incredibly offensive to God. And yet you know how God chooses to reveal himself. You know how God chooses to describe himself so shortly after that. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Well, thank God that he's not like a lot of us. This is how it carries on, verse 9. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. When God forgives us, you see what he does? He removes our sin from us. And he removes it, he says, as far as the east is from the west. In other words, infinity. Never to be seen again. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that you've been forgiven by God. You know that you've accepted his forgiveness. You've been baptized. You know you're a Christian. Maybe you have been for a long time. But the reality is that over the last few months, you've felt the weight of sin. You've felt your guilt. You've felt your failures before God and it's weighing you down. And actually, it's sapping your joy and it's even actually impacting your energy levels. You know, if you follow Jesus as your Saviour and King and you respect him, as it says here, you fear him, then your sins are forgiven. All those sins of the last year, 2024, are forgiven. They've been removed from you. You can go into 2025 with a clean slate, as it were. And you know what's in some ways even more special is that you can know that you're going to get to the end of 2025 with a clean slate too. Not because you'll have lived the perfect life, but because Jesus forgives us for past, present and future. Doesn't mean that we go into 2025 not caring about sin. Doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. But it means that we can have the joy of knowing that we're forgiven. It means that we can enjoy the freedom of that. We're forgiven. The slate is clean. They're gone. So forgiveness, that's top of David's list. But how does he carry on? Well, verse 3, another benefit, who heals all your diseases. Well, throughout the Bible, especially when Jesus was on earth, there was often miraculous healings. Often it went alongside forgiveness. Maybe you can think of examples in Jesus' life where there was forgiveness and miraculous healings. Well, what was Jesus doing? What was the Bible doing as it gives us these examples? Well, it's giving us a bit of a picture. It is giving us, well, a glimpse really, actually, of what God will one day do for all of us. Now, some people today do still experience miraculous healings. And wonderfully, God has given us bodies that can heal. But above all, this is pointing forward to the day when he will heal all our illnesses. When he will give us new bodies that won't decay, that won't get ill, that won't grow old. Where there will be no more sickness or death. God will remove all the physical consequences of our sin completely and forever. And he will give us life as he wanted, as he designed at the beginning. Who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, another one, who redeems your life from the pit. Who redeems your life from the pit. The pit here is a sort of picture of despair or destruction or even death. And David knew, didn't he, what it was to be rescued from despair and death even. There were times when God pulled him out of incredibly dark situations. Where God rescued his life where it looked like there was no chance of him surviving. And God rescued him from the pit. And maybe there are times in your life where you can see how God has rescued you from despair. It's as if you felt yourself being pulled out of the pit. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you know that you've been rescued from the road to destruction. You've been sort of yanked away from the pit of darkness. But even more amazingly, as we think about the pit, the ultimate pit, it makes us think of the grave. And you know, God can rescue us from the grave itself. I don't know whether you've been into any of the supermarkets over the last week, but already, what have they got in there? Easter eggs. I don't know quite how I feel about it. Part of me doesn't like it. I do love Easter eggs, so that helps. But it points us towards Easter already, doesn't it? We've been thinking about Jesus coming. What did he come for? Well, he came for Easter. He came to conquer the grave. And here's the thing, is that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave to conquer the grave is the same power that will one day raise us from the grave if we place our trust in Jesus. That even the pit of death cannot hold us anymore. Jesus redeemed us by giving his own life so that even the pit of death cannot hold us anymore. The grave has no power over the Christian because of Jesus. Second half of verse 4, we get another one, another benefit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Not only does he remove our sins from us, not only does he deal with the negative consequences of our rebellion against God, but it's as if he brings us to him and he puts a crown on our head. And it's loving kindness and it's mercy. And it's this incredibly powerful demonstration of God bestowing his favour and love on us. And saying, you are so loved. You are so cared for. And then verse 5, finally, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, I wonder how many Christmas presents were already in the bin. Or how many Christmas presents have been left untouched since they've been opened. I suspect many of you, if not all of us, have eaten good food over the last few days. And I suspect we've sat down at the end of it and felt very satisfied. Maybe a bit too satisfied at times. But it's amazing, isn't it, how quickly you feel a bit peckish. The cheese and crackers comes out and suddenly you feel, oh, I could have a little bit more. You know, the good things that God gives us truly satisfy us. They satisfy our very deepest needs and wants. They satisfy us more than anything else can. And as we're satisfied by God's gifts, it's as if we're spiritually renewed. It gives us this spiritual energy. It uses a picture of an eagle to demonstrate this. So you know when you see an eagle just soaring. And it's this picture of vitality and strength. That's what happens. When we are satisfied by God's goodness and by his gifts, we're strengthened and boosted. It becomes a source of strength and energy for us. So remember all of God's benefits. Remember all of God's benefits. And maybe you feel a little bit like you know that already. You sort of think, well, if I'd given you a bit of paper, you could have jotted all those things down, 10 out of 10 sort of thing. But David isn't reminding himself because he's forgotten the knowledge. Oh, you know, what was it again? Oh, yeah, I better write it down just so I remember. No, that wasn't why David wrote these things down. He wrote them down to stir himself up to worship. I'm going to bring these things to mind so that it stirs me up to worship God. And here's the really important thing to remember. That these things that we're looking at this morning, his forgiveness and him giving us life and all these things, are not just for when we first become a Christian and first start following Jesus. These things are that if we want to live the Christian life and follow Jesus, we need to have as a sort of bedrock every single day. These are the things that we need to remind us of every single day to help us battle doubt and self-condemnation and anxiety and despair. We need to teach these things to ourselves every single day. And it's something that John and I really need to do as preachers. We need to keep preaching the same basic gospel to ourselves every day. We never move on from it. We need to keep preaching it to ourselves every day. And when we forget that, we get ourselves in trouble. And so as we end 2024 and as we go into 2025, I want to encourage you to remember all his benefits. They're there in verses 2 to 5 of Psalm 103. And maybe it'd be a good idea to jot it down when you get home. Maybe write it out or print it out. And you could even add all your own benefits as well, all the good things that God has done for you personally around it. So that as you go into the new year, you can look and be like, yeah, look at all those good things that God has done for me. Well, that's the first one, a bit of a giant one. Secondly, remember his parental love. Remember his parental love. This is verses 13 to 18. 13 to 18. Well, as a good number of you know, my parents are here this morning. And I'm very thankful for them. But as you get older, the relationship sort of changes with them a little bit. It's very different to when you're very young, isn't it? And now I've also got my nieces here this morning. They're very young and their relationship with their parents is very different. They've been staying at my parents and so I've been with them a fair bit and they require constant care, constant watching. They need to be fed, they need to be, you know, put in the bath or whatever. If they cross the road, they've got to at least hold your hand, if not be held. And they have complete trust in their parents. If their parents are with them, generally speaking, that they feel safe and happy. And in this psalm, we have this parental love of God towards us. Towards, it says, all those who follow and obey him. This is what it says in verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Interestingly, the word compassion here is used elsewhere in the Bible to describe the really sort of powerful emotive love that a mother feels for her children. And so in a sense here, what we've got is a sort of God being a really good father and a really good mother in this description. As we see this good parent towards us. And why is this parental love so special towards us? Well, it's because in many ways we are like very little children. We are needy. We are frail. We don't always feel it. But this is what it says. So I'm reading from verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. It's this picture language of our life just being so short, so quickly gone. I think, you know, especially when we're young, we feel invincible. We feel like life will just go on forever and ever and ever. But life is so short. Maybe some of you have been playing games this week that involve those little sand timers. And it's amazing how quick that time goes, isn't it? Maybe it's a minute one. And when you're trying to write 10 things, or when you're trying to draw 10 little objects, it's amazing how quick that time goes. And as another year passes by and is ticked off the calendar, and we get older as time continues its relentless march, what is our hope in all of this as time rushes by? Verse 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. See, God's love does not grow old. God's love doesn't grow grey hair or develop wrinkles. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows our shortcomings. And yet, with the unconditional love of good parents, he loves us with everlasting love. And doesn't that encourage you as you face 2025? Who knows what it will bring? I certainly don't. Have no idea. It's incredibly certain, uncertain, isn't it? But we do know that we have a parent who we know will care for us, and who loves us, and who can provide for us. And we know that he can do that until the end of 2025, because he loves us with an everlasting love. Remember his parental love. And then lastly, and much more briefly, remember his kingdom. Remember his kingdom. This is verses 19 to 22. Well, often throughout history, mercy and love have been sort of seen as symbols of weakness. But you can't claim that with God, not when he shows love and mercy. Look at what it goes on to say. It's the very opposite of weak. This is verses 19 and 20. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Just want to share just two applications from this. Two quick applications. Jesus is on the throne. We may not be able to see his kingdom, but he is on the throne and he is reigning. And the world may seem utterly chaotic at times. And we may look at the news and we may see the different powers and we may think, who on earth is in control? What on earth is going on? And yet nothing is too much for him. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing is outside the bounds of his control. And maybe you don't think so globally. Maybe you're thinking about your own personal life and 2025, and you're thinking about what's in your diary coming up. And there are things that are daunting you. Or there are things that you know are outside of your control. There are things where you're really wanting God's guidance. It just seems so unclear at the moment. Or there are things that are making you anxious. Well, Jesus is on the throne. May not be able to see him, but he is. You may be limited in what you can do, but Jesus isn't. In fact, he's got mighty angels who love doing everything he says. Doesn't that give you a sense of security and confidence as you head into a new year? Jesus is on the throne in his kingdom, and he rules over all. But just secondly, David finishes this psalm with this command to everything, all of creation, to worship God. You might remember, what did he do at the start? Right at the start, he talks to himself. Everything in me, my soul, come on, worship God. Now he commands all of creation, all the angels and everything. He's like, worship God, worship the King. God's the King of all creation. So all creation owes its worship to God. And so when we worship God as a church, or when you sing praises to God in your living room, you're not just by yourself. You're part of something much bigger. You're part of all of creation and all the angels singing praises to God. We get to join in with them as they praise God. And I think that's pretty exciting. I think that's a pretty exciting thought, that we get to join in with all of creation and all the angels to worship God. So as we get to the end of 2024, and as we start thinking about next year with whatever it holds, I think it would do us a lot of good to remember all of his benefits that he gives, to remember his parental love, and to remember his kingdom. Well, I'm going to give it just a few moments, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing. Lord God, I pray that you would forgive us for when we are cold-hearted, for when we do not properly worship you. Lord, you deserve praise from every fibre of our beings. And Lord, I pray that you would stir us up to praise you. Lord, we thank you for what we've been looking at this morning. And I pray that we'd continue to keep looking at you, and that we would feel more and more stirred up to praise you and to glorify you. And Lord, we thank you that even though you are the great King, even though you are holy, yet, Lord, you are a God who loves to forgive. And, Lord, for anyone who does not know your forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself to them, that they may cry out to you, and that they may know the wonder of being truly forgiven, and that more and more they may come to know you. And, Lord, for those of us who have been forgiven, Lord, I pray that more and more we may rejoice in this, Lord, that it may impact every day of our lives, and that more and more we may be filled with joy, whatever's going on around us, as we get to know you better and better. So, Lord, we thank you for these things. I pray that we would remember them, not just in our minds, but that we would bring these things to our thoughts so that we praise you. Lord, help us to keep doing that as we head home later, as we go to work or whatever we're doing tomorrow, as we live our normal lives. Lord, help us to praise you because you are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing a song now. It's a slightly older song, but it's based on this psalm. So as we sing this song, we're effectively sort of singing the psalm back to ourselves. So let's stand there when the music starts and let's sing this together.
many do so much in the life of our church, which we're so grateful for, big and small. We've had some particular situations where people have been laying down responsibilities at the end of this year, and we remembered John and Steph last week, and Tim and Amanda were recognised and remembered at the banquet and had been given a gift from the church. But there's one further laying down of responsibility that we wanted to remember and recognise at the end of this service. So Roger, if you wouldn't mind standing at the front here. So, Roger, for nearly a quarter of a century, you've been looking over the finances of the church, and it's involved many hours and much conscientiousness and a tremendous eye for detail and accuracy, as many of us will realise. And you've done it with devotion, and we're very grateful for that. And on top of that, for the last over 8 years, you've served as a deacon with all the different responsibilities so usefully amongst us. And Ruth has released you for some of these things so that you can give your time to the church. And we're grateful for that. And there's a Bible verse that says this: for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So the church here has wanted to express, and the church and congregation, their gratefulness. So here is a card with our appreciation, and inside it includes a gift as well. You can't gift aid the gift, I'm afraid, but it's there with our love and our gratitude and our sense of indebtedness to you for all you've done.
Thank you, John. I just want to thank you as congregation and church members for all the prayers you've offered up for me over the last quarter of a century, as I've struggled sometimes with the finances of the church, for my wife's patience with me while I've sat upstairs in the office, and in the early days had she had to call me down at 10 o'clock and said it's bedtime. And I hope you will pray for Tim as he takes over the finances of the church. Well, thank you very much indeed, all of you. My prayer is still continuing for you, John and Mark, and you all, as I give up my physical responsibilities, but I will still be praying for you all. Thank you again. Thank you.
Well, shall we pray to finish? Heavenly Father, we recognise the Lord Jesus as the head of the church and know that he gives gifts to those in the church. And we're thankful for the gifts that have been given to Roger and which he's used in serving us and serving you for so many years. We thank you for the way in which it's been accompanied with a heart of love for you and your people. And we praise you for your kindness in this respect. We thank you for Ruth as well, supporting him in those labours and concerns for us. We pray for them both as they continue to serve in different ways in the life of this church and to serve others. We pray for great blessing, a sense of peace, wisdom and strength to be given to them in this phase. We pray that you would lead us onwards and provide for us as a church. And so, Lord, we have this morning been reminded to give thanks to you from a full heart because of your character and because of your works. And we finish on that note of praise to our eternal God for your great mercy and kindness. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.